It is my delight to be here. My name is Robin Milhouse. I'm from Moreno Valley, California. I want you to know how wonderful it is to be here in the South and with all of you. Now, if you're not familiar, so we also live in the South. It is nothing like your South. We're in Southern California. Yeah, if you've never been to California, it is all that. But we go where God's called us. But when we leave brown Southern California, because as Marilee said, Marilee lives in the desert, we live on the edge of the desert. So we leave brown Southern California, and we fly across, and as we approach the Atlanta airport, we see green, 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 so much green. And then we get into the airport and we're like, oh, this is why it's so green. The air is thick. It's thick to us and we love it. My contacts are so happy. I could wear contacts all the time here, I can tell. And there is something so wonderful about a girls' weekend, isn't there? And I want you to know you have sisters in Southern California who are praying for you, asking the Lord to touch your lives and encourage you and give you exactly what it is that he knows he wants you to go home with. In fact, I had quite a few women say, well, I want to go. I'm like, well, hop on a plane and come with us. But there is something, I don't know, boy moms, any boy moms here? Don't we love being with girls? Okay. My boys are all grown, families of their own, but I spent a good portion of my adult years in a house full of boys. So anytime I can be with girls? Yes, yes, exactly. All the special touches. I hope you're noticing all the special touches from the bathroom, everywhere you go. There is just something lovely to look at that reminds you it's so important that you're here. You are so wanted and so loved and been so prayed over and prepared for. And so we love every second of this. How amazing that we have seen with such transparency Ali's story of the pursuing relentless love of God that will not let us go. I hope you're taking heart. Perhaps if you are resonating with her story, or perhaps like me, you've got a child or two that you think, oh, Lord, remember, he loves those loved ones more than we do, and he will not let them go. And so we find such comfort in the fact that this is the Father's love. A love that will pursue. And in his time frame, he does amazing things. Isn't it incredible, though, as we now go into this fruit of the Spirit, love, that the Lord is saying, I want my love demonstrated, active, at work in your life. Why don't we pray? Lord, we are so grateful for this relentless love that would leave the 99 to go after the one. Father, your love is the very love we're talking about now as a fruit that is to be seen in our lives. And Lord, we fall short. But you are reminding us throughout this entire weekend that each one of these beautiful attributes are not only things that you desire to be seen in our lives, touching others through our lives, but this is certainly not about our ability to do it. This is a work of your Spirit. And so we are asking, Lord, by your Spirit, would you speak to us now? Challenge us where we need to be challenged. Lord, we're asking your blessing on our time together as we look at your love in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Didn't we have a beautiful video last night? That was just beautiful and such a perfect illustration of the work of the Spirit in our lives and how that takes place. Because we've got to participate with what it is that God wants to do in us and then through us. And so we've been looking at Galatians 5, 22 and 23. I don't think any of us will ever say, okay, where are the verses on fruit of the Spirit? We know them. We will know them by the end of tomorrow. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, this beautiful list of the fruit that comes as a result of our connection to the Lord. Fruit that is to be on full display right in the middle of our very ordinary everyday lives. How amazing that the Lord wants to use our lives to show this world what authentic, genuine, unconditional love looks like. You'll remember that Jesus told us in John 13, I'm giving you a new commandment. As I've loved you, I want you to love each other. And then he adds this, By this love, my love in you, the world is going to know that you belong to me. Jesus is telling us that his love is made real and recognizable just as you and I actively live it out. But here's the thing. I think we all want to think of ourselves as loving people. Yeah, I'm loving. And oftentimes we are. Until we aren't. Until we're tired. Until we're hungry. Until we're misunderstood. Stressed. Until we're dealing with a stubborn family member. A difficult and demanding person. Listen, people can hurt us. Test us. Try us. And be generally emotionally exhausting. And we all know what it's like to hit the limits of our own very small, very limited supply of love. And the Lord is making it clear that he never intended for you and me to love others out of our own small, limited supply. Because, girls, that is exactly the place where God's Spirit wants and waits to meet with us. Not when love is easy, but when love is hard. Not when people are lovable, but when they're complicated. Because this fruit of the Spirit, love, is meant for real life. Right in the middle of the mess. In the middle of the misunderstandings, the relationships that stretch us the most. That's the love we're talking about today. Not the kind that you and I can manage on our own, by ourselves, on our best days, but a love God pours into us, a love so powerful that it has the opportunity to impact every person that you and I come into contact with. I'm wondering if, I'm thinking about my husband's testimony. So John and I became a Christian during the Jesus Revolution. Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa the tiny chapel wasn't even finished. So when we went to go see Jesus Revolution a few years ago, I was apprehensive. I'm like, I was there. I was there before it was finished. Pastor Chuck led my parents to the Lord. But they did a good job in capturing the essence of what was going on. And some friends took me to one of those houses that was in the movie. That's where I heard the gospel for the first time and received Christ in 1969. Met my husband at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa a couple years later, and we got married in 1972. So we've been married 53 years. But he always says this. Lonnie Frisbee led him to the Lord. He always says, it was the love that stood out to him. He walked in as a real long-haired hippie, expecting to be shunned. And he said, it was this love. He said, I've never seen anything like it. I mean, such a prime example of the way that God wants to use our lives and what he does in us and then through us to impact the people that we come into contact with. So we want to remember, going back to Galatians, that this book of Galatians was a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to this church that had gotten off track. They'd replaced the beautiful gospel of grace with their own attempts. We've just heard this. This is something that we can easily fall into. Okay, I'm going to do this. Well, this is what this church in Galatia was doing. Okay, we're going to follow the rules. And by our own efforts, we're going to make this happen. And we know that Paul writes to them in chapter 3, verse 3, and he says, my sweet friends in Galatia, what happened? You started your relationship with the Lord in the Spirit. Do you think you're going to finish in your own efforts now? Paul is saying, whoa, hold on. You were never meant to do this on your own. You don't have the capability of doing this on your own. Paul knew from experience, as he wrote to Romans, the Romans in chapter 7, listen, the things that I know I should be doing, I'm not doing them. In fact, oftentimes I'm doing the exact opposite. Paul knew the struggle of living out his faith in his everyday life. And don't we have that same experience? We can know what we should be doing. We can know how we should be responding to people. We can have the very best intentions and yet fail time and time again. So Paul shares with us in Galatians 5 that there is a far more powerful, transforming way to live as Christ followers, living lives with such remarkable characteristics that the world stops and takes notice. Life on fallen planet Earth calls for a life that is filled and empowered by the Spirit, especially when it comes to the way that you and I are called to love people. Now, if you've been a believer for any amount of time, I'm going to bet that you've heard the biblical definition of love as it's spoken of right here in this list of the fruit of the Spirit. And we so need this detailed definition, because our English word love encompasses so many different things. So I love my family. I love my dog. I love my dog. I love chocolate. I love rainy days. I love rainy days. We have one word to express all of these things. But the Greek language of the New Testament is so precise. The love that flows from the Holy Spirit in a believer's life is agape love. Agape. Not a feeling, but a choice. It's the choice to sacrifice, to consider somebody else's needs greater than our own. This is love that costs us something. In fact, agape is used in all of the challenging New Testament verses about love, 1 Corinthians 13 in particular. So if Galatians 5 is basically a composite sketch of what the abiding life looks like, we can look at 1 Corinthians 13 and see that this is a portrait being painted of what agape love is to look like in our everyday lives. The love chapter, you're probably familiar with it, tells us that agape love is long-suffering, enduring, kind, thoughtful, not overly sensitive, not easily angered, doesn't keep a record of offenses, never fails. This love is extended to those who've wronged us. It forgives. It stays present even when the situation is hard. That's the standard of agape love. And don't we know that everyday life is bringing us lots of opportunities to bump into people that need a kind of love that you and I cannot manufacture in and of ourselves. So if the Lord tells us that agape love is to be this identifying characteristic of our lives, if Jesus says, this is how people are going to know that you belong to me, by the way you love, I think it's a really good idea for us to stop and ask ourselves, okay, what's getting in the way? What are the hindrances to God's agape love? What are the things that so often keep me from expressing God's agape love to others? Well, my thoughts go to a few areas, and I'm going to guess that you're going to resonate with a few of these. In fact, we talked about a few of them last night as we started our conference with Lord, take care of our hearts. But these are some things that continue to get in the way. We take care of them, but we know they're going to crop up again. Things like unforgiveness, bitterness, self-centeredness, complacency, disobedience, doubt, unconfessed sin. It is amazing to me how quickly these things can accumulate. I can be having a bad day, and before I know it, I've got quite a collection of things that are getting in the way. When you and I are harboring things in our hearts, there's not much room for agape love to flourish. We can't forget the importance of having hearts that are cleansed from anything that's going to hamper and impede the Lord's work in and through our lives. So first and foremost, we need to make things right with God. We have a Father who is just waiting for the opportunity to care for our hearts, our hardened hearts, our wounded hearts, our neglected hearts, our cluttered hearts. But we have to bring them to him. And so we start there. I asked my husband a few weeks ago, I said, you know, what are your thoughts on this? Why do you think that it's sometimes hard to love people with agape love? It took him no time at all to answer me. He's like, why is it sometimes hard to love people? People! I had to laugh at the irony and the truth of that because, yes, the very people that you and I are called to love are sometimes the very reason why it is not easy. People issues often result in big feelings, am I right? How do I love with agape love when I'm dealing with difficult people? When I'm dealing with strong emotions that come when I've been betrayed or hurt or overlooked or forgotten? The very last thing that you and I are inclined to do naturally is to extend love. Why? because people issues hit us at the deepest level. We have feelings that make it sometimes so hard to practice what I know would honor the Lord. You know those times when I know I should love, but I'm not feeling it. I am not feeling it. Girls, we have to come back to John 15. We've got to be connected. I had such a vivid illustration of this about 6 weeks ago. One of our sons called and said that they were rushing our grandson to the hospital. They weren't sure what was going on. We're like, keep in touch. Let us know what's going on. We are praying. And so all through the night, he was admitted into the emergency room, and then they took him back, and they're trying to determine what's going on, what's the course of treatment, what are we going to do? And so Joel would, every now and then, try to call. Okay, Mom, this is what's... And then nothing. I'm like... And then maybe 10 minutes later, okay, sorry, I got cut off. Mom, this is what... Cut off. I'm like, oh. We couldn't get to the hospital at that very moment. I mean, this went on for a while. And then finally he's like, okay, they're admitting him, they're going to do surgery. He had an appendectomy. He was fine. In fact, he went home the same day that he had his appendectomy. Amazing. But we didn't know it at the time. I got to the hospital and a giant waiting area. But I see people with loved ones in surgery and they're all on their cell phones. We know they're looking for reception because they keep getting disconnected because life. They could not, I mean, once they found a spot, they did not move. Because they had important news to get out to loved ones and friends. Disconnection. We understand it. It happens to all of us. In fact, it just happened to me in here. I have no signal in here. So when we went out to lunch, and my phone starts going ding, 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 ding. We understand disconnection. It happens to all of us. But John 15 reminds us that without him, we can do nothing, nothing. I think we all understand the vital importance of beginning our day and framing that day with a full connection with the Lord. Yet, here's what I found to be true, I bet you have as well, that even when I start my day with a rich time in prayer and worship, the Word, I can begin a morning so connected to the Lord. But have you found, like I have, that sometimes it doesn't take long? Because life. I can get busy. I can get distracted. Just sometimes even an encounter with a less than easy to love person. Or maybe even a loved one who's kind of getting on my last nerve. All these things can detach us from all of the beautiful things that have taken place just hours before. We've got to remember that it's not just about starting connected, and that's absolutely where it starts, but it's about staying connected, walking with repentant hearts. Then throughout the day, when we run into that less than lovable person, or those times when we respond with irritation or frustration, we keep short accounts with God and with others, If I've acted out of frustration or irritability, I need to not only ask the Lord to forgive me, but I need to go make it right with the person that I have been frustrated or irritated with. An excellent next step especially when this is a more difficult or challenging situation, is to commit to praying for that person, particularly if it's an ongoing situation that you are encountering this person often. We need to bring that situation to the Lord. We're coming with an open and honest heart, ready to move in obedience. Not necessarily waiting for the feelings. Oh, girls, I want to feel the love. Okay, then I'll do it. And oftentimes it's not going to be that way. We're going to move forward in obedience. The feelings will follow. Something really important has the opportunity to take place right there. I'm thinking of a particular situation in my own life where I was dealing with somebody who'd been unkind to me. You know what the inclination is when somebody's not been nice to you? Okay, they're over there. I'm going this way. That person's there. Okay, I'm going this way. And I didn't like it. I prayed about it. I have pages in my journals written about it. I'm like, Lord, here's what would be great if you could just take care of. And I had a vision in my mind of what this was going to look like when he made it all better. But I have to tell you that ultimately there came a point when I realized I have to step away from my feelings. I have to step away. And I'm going to have to step towards that person. Was it easy? No. Did I wrestle with the Lord? Yes. But can I tell you how freeing it was to be able to leave behind my own limitations and instead approach that situation with the agape love that he provided? Listen, the situation may not change when we look at our most complicated relational issues. It may not change in the time frame or in the manner in which you are praying and asking the Lord to work. But when I allow the Lord full access to my heart and I move forward in full connection to him, the situation may not change, but I'm changed. I'm changed. Girls, there may not be a resolution as we would prefer it to happen. We've got to remember that love, agape love, is a fruit of the Spirit. We're hearing this session after session after session. Fruit. A beautiful natural result of being emptied of self and filled with the Spirit. Listen, all the Lord is waiting for, all he needs is our surrender. Surrender reconnects me to Jesus and puts me in a place to be able to receive what he is longing to first pour into my life and then through my life. I often drive through a canyon near my house. And in this canyon are beautiful orange groves, row after row after row of beautiful trees. And just recently, it has been orange blossom season. Some of you know exactly what this smells like. I roll the windows down and, ooh, take in that aroma. But it doesn't matter what time of year it is, whether it the cold, frosty winters or the hot, dry summers, those trees are growing. Those trees are flourishing because they're being carefully tended by diligent farmers as this quiet process of fruit bearing continues in every season. Yet in all the years that I have driven through that canyon, never once have I heard orange trees straining and struggling to produce fruit. They were created for it. They were designed to bear fruit, and they do, as long as they remain in the diligent care of these farmers who are pruning and tending and watering and feeding, taking care of the soil. And the result, beautiful, abundant, delicious fruit. Girls, each and every one of us were created to be fruit bearers. And agape love will be the hallmark of our lives when we remain fully connected to Him. And when we start to detach, we come right back. This is the place where our lives clearly state to the world around us, we belong to Jesus. Simply by the way we love. As He accomplishes His work in us, as you and I are consistently emptied of self and filled with the Spirit, His love will beautifully, naturally show up in our lives. Girls, that's the flourishing life that we were created for. It's a life that we are invited to live. We are called to live. It is a life that the Lord is waiting to fill, to equip, and empower us to live. A life that is so filled with love that everywhere we go, we are pointing others to Jesus.